On today's Technobabble, cable management.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, and welcome everyone to another episode of Tech No Babble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Clifford, Paul Allen Clifford, actually. And if you Google that, you'll find that I've every result on the first page, just something we'll talk about maybe on a future episode of Tech Help for Churches, how I'm trying to get the word out, and just little things that I think eventually will build towards the whole. So keep an eye towards that. Right now, I just want to encourage you, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can either join the chat. This show does record live every Monday. Well, I'm live every Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on churchtechcast.com, or this particular show records live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, again on churchtechcast.com, so you can join me there. Join the chat window, which I have open to my left, your right, and so occasionally I'll glance over and you'll know what I'm doing. You can also give me a call, 1-877-763-3246, and you can echo back to that podcast, because this is 1-877-POD-ECHO. So I would love to have your comments, your interactions, stuff like that. But today, let's talk about cable management. So cable management is, well, it's something that's often neglected, and it's really kind of sad because it's when you poorly manage your cables, you're taking you're not taking good care of the gear that you have, and you're also potentially putting people in danger. And let's talk about that. So there's two types of cable management, and I'm making some of these terms up, so it could be that people label them different things. But I would say that there is temporary cable management, and then there's permanent cable management. So let's talk about temporary first. Temporary, what I mean is what you do on your stage. Well, assuming that your stage isn't permanently set, assuming that you change things from week to week, maybe down in the fellowship hall of your church, which I don't know why every big empty space is called the fellowship hall at a church, but it tends to be. Anyway, so maybe you're setting up a temporary setup, right? And you've got some microphones to set up, some speakers to set up, soundboard, things like that. So as you set those up, there are good practices and poor practices. So let's talk about good practices. Good practices are you want to make all, you want to move your cables in straight lines as much as possible. Secondly, you want any movement through walkways to be as short as possible. Thirdly, you want to tape down your cables so that people don't trip. Fourthly, you want to tape with enough tape to keep people from tripping, but not so much that you're wasteful. And I would err on the side of enough to make sure people don't trip. sometimes people can live, especially if you're using the right kind of tape for this, which is gaff tape, not duct tape, which is more expensive. I'll grant you that. But sometimes people can live in kind of a scarcity of gaff tape. In fact, let me reach in my pocket. I love gaff tape. This is a gaff tape wallet that I made with gaff tape. It's more expensive than a duct tape wallet, but just like a duct tape wallet, when a piece wears out, I just replace it and it's good. And I've had this for 4 or 5 years, and it seems to still work for me. So gaff tape is a reliable type of tape to tape down cables. So let's go back through some of these, and let's talk about why each is important. First off, running your cables at 90 degree angles in straight lines. The straighter the line, the less likely someone is to trip. Turning a 90 degree angle in order to move a cable in a direction, that's something where if you do it in a corner or if you do it right against a wall, something like that, it's less problematic than if you make a bunch of turns and twists and everything. Again, people are much more likely to trip when you do that. I used to do temporary installations for a local hotel, by the way. I had to do it in a suit, which made no sense to me personally. But anyway, so I used to do this, and occasionally I would find that the hotel staff had moved my cables, and they'd try and be helpful and tape them down. But in moving my cables and taping them back down, they tended to lose their nice straight line. And visually, that looks good. And as I say, from a safety standpoint, that looks good. Now, if you need to cross a walkway when you're running your cables, that's okay. But depending on how busy the walkway, if you've got a choice between a busy walkway and a seldom used walkway, you should always use the seldom used walkway. But between those two, you want to use the shortest distance as you can between two points. And remember, if it's a walkway, you might need to tape it down more. So if you've got a cable that's running along a wall, taping it every few feet, just tacking it down, more than adequate. If it's a walkway, you might want to put a piece of tape on one side of the cable, a piece of tape on the other side of the cable, overlapping in the middle. And even I've seen, if it was particularly heavy, people take spike tape, which is just very narrow gaff tape, and like a contrasting color. So if you're using black gaff tape, they would use like white spike tape and run kind of diagonal lines across the spike tape so that it's with the spike tape rather, so that it's more obvious that there's something there for people to pay attention to. So obviously it's possible to untape cables if people are careless in how they walk over them. They can just, you know, kick them and do things which would cause the tape to rip. So you want to make it obvious that, hey, there's a cable here, so please just step over it. And most of the time people will. So that's another piece of the puzzle. One thing that you need to consider is audio and video cables need to run separately as much as possible from power cables, because power cables, since there's so much electricity running through them, they basically have a little electromagnetic effect that can affect the signal coming through a video cable or a sound cable. And in a sound situation, that will manifest itself as hum or static. And in video, you'll see kind of a faint bar moving through the video signal. if it's an analog signal. If it's a digital signal, sometimes that will knock out the digital signal. So it's not good whatsoever. If you have to run both power and audio and video, one, try and separate them by at least a few inches if they have to run parallel. Ideally, you would want to run power on one side of the room and audio and video on the other side of the room if you have to run it along the floor. That would be ideal. Whenever possible, sometimes these cables would need to cross. If they need to cross, they should cross in 90-degree angles so that there's as little as possible of the power cable touching the audio or video cable. So once you do all that, that's a good first step for a temporary installation. Now, I think I mentioned in passing, but it's absolutely necessary that whenever you can, run cables along walls and in places where people do not walk. Got me? So if you were in a movie theater, for example, it would be better to run your cables along the wall. But it's not horrible to run the cables smack dab through the center of the seats. Very center, because people are likely to walk in from one side and go to about the center, or walk in from the other side and go to about the center. You see how that's a helpful thing to do? So keep that in mind. Now, when you remove cables from a temporary installation, you want to remove all of the tape at that time. Do not store tape on cables. Now, that may seem very obvious, but more than once I've seen people just pull up the cable, the tape is still there, they leave it there, and the tape wraps around itself, it gets harder to take off, and if it's stored for, say, a couple of months like that, the next thing that you'll see is when you do take off the tape, it'll be a gooey mess, and you'll have to use something like Goo Gone to get rid of the goo. Whereas if you just removed the tape when you remove the installation, problem would have been solved. Also, when you're removing a temporary installation, you need to do an over-under cable scheme on everything other than power cables. And on power cables, it's perfectly permissible as well. Last night, I was at practice, and there was a teenager who was winding up his guitar cable by holding the end in his hand and then wrapping it around his forearm. That's the intuitive way to do it, and it's wrong and horrible for the cables. So don't wrap cables around your forearm. What you want to do is look up over-under cable wrapping techniques. Maybe I'll make a video later on if I've got some time that shows you how to do it. Basically, you loosely grab the two ends, put them together, and then grab another two. Well, it's not an end, it's an end and somewhere along the middle of the cable, and you put them together, usually about shoulders width, put them together, and then the next time you grab about shoulders width, you turn your hand over and bring them together, and in that way you're flipping the cable back the opposite direction. So you're flipping it over and then under and then over and then under. And I wrap virtually everything like that. I don't do my headphones like that. I do my power cables. Although power cables are more hardy, they're more sturdy. So I've seen a lot of people do the forearm wrap. That's okay, I suppose. They're less expensive than XLRs and definitely than HDMI cables, so that would be permissible, but I'd absolutely try not to do that on your audio and video cables, for sure. So, that's for a temporary installation. Now let's talk just a bit, shall we, about more permanent installations. So say you've got a rack of equipment. I've got one to my right, your left, if you're looking at the screen here. By the way, this is up on YouTube later. So if you go to bit.ly/PaulTube, you can subscribe, which I'm all in favor of. And you can also watch a lot of these videos after I've posted them. So I've got a rack of equipment over here, and these racks are pretty standard things. I think they're 22 inches, 22 and a half inches wide, and each rack space, I want to say, is it 1.5 inches tall? Yeah, that seems right. I could be wrong. I can't remember numbers to save my life sometimes. So anyway, when it comes to cable management of racked equipment, so this is a permanent install, right? One, use the shortest cable that will do the job. Now, you can do the job with a cable that's too short, and you don't want to do that. So if the cable if it's so short that it causes the edge, the connector to bind, that's too short. If you have to put the cable in at an odd angle so that instead of running at 90 degree angles, it actually runs diagonal, that's too short. You need adequate cabling to get from point A to point B, running it at 90 degree angles wherever it's possible. Secondly, I would, in addition to having cables that are the right length, and the best way to do that, by the way, is to make your own cables. So you can make RCAs, XLRs, BNCs, any of those types of cables you can make yourself and make them the perfect length for your situation. That's what would be ideal. We don't live in an ideal world, and sometimes you can't do that, or maybe the rack is going to be installed for 6 months, but not any longer. So you're not sure that you want, oh, here's a 2.5 inch cable, and here is a 6¾ foot cable. You know, odd sizes like that. So if that's the case, you can take cables that are slightly longer. You want only the next highest size, if you can possibly do it, and hide the excess in the cable, in the routing of the cables. So again, you want to do 90 degrees. So straight up and down wherever possible, and horizontal wherever possible. And make those movements up and down, left and right, wherever possible, to get them where they need to go as expeditiously as possible. But again, remember, you don't want to run power parallel to audio and video, because you can get interference. So what I typically do when I'm building a rack of equipment is I will run power along one side of the rack, and I'll run the audio and video cables along the other side of the rack. So one thing that you might want to do is, as you're building everything out, make sure you've only got the cables that you have, you put them in the right position, and when they're in the right position, then I would temporarily put them in place with these twist ties. So you can get twist ties. A lot of times garbage bags will come with the thing of twist ties that almost no one uses. Just hold on to those. Just keep them. And then when you're doing something like this, temporarily put your cables where they're going to go with these twist ties, so that you have a good idea of where everything goes, get it nice and neat, and then go in with cable ties. You know, the plastic dealies that once you put them on, it's hard to get them off without cutting them. It's not impossible, by the way, but it is hard. So what I would do is I would dry fit everything with twist ties, get it beautiful, because when you do cable management well, it looks great. And then I would take the cable ties and I would tie them up and then cut off all the excess so that it's very neat. Don't overdo your cable ties, but don't underdo them either. So you want the cable bundle to be firm and not easily moved. And you want, but you don't want so many cable ties that when you go to take this rack apart years in the future, you curse yourself for using so many cable ties. So that is probably the other thing that you need to consider is that. So when you look at a well cable managed system, it should look pretty. It should look like it was done well. All the excess should be hidden away. It should not look like a plate of spaghetti. If your cables look like a plate of spaghetti, you've made a mistake, and you're going to have a problem. Now, there's something that I left out that I want you to keep in mind as well. Each end of a cable in a rack or in a permanent installation really needs to have a label so that you don't have to try and trace down a cable if you have to remove a piece of gear or if you need to switch out something or if the cable goes bad. You don't want to have to trace that down. What you want to do is go, okay, here is the end that is on this piece of gear, and it's labeled as this is the one that goes to the amplifier, for example. And then on the other end, you put this is the one coming from the sound desk left, for example. And that way, you know, even if you switch it to a counterintuitive spot, the cable would stay the same. So you, on both ends, you want to label that. Now, a cheap way to do that is, you know, those little plastic bread wrapper dealies, they're square, they have a little notch cut in them. Save those, label them with a Sharpie, and then put one on each end of the cable. Problem solved. You can also use a cable labeling system, like maybe something from Dynamo or something like that. But I don't think that it's necessary to go all the way. You just want to use what works for you and make it nice and neat, and that'll save you a ton of headaches later. That will make it easier to troubleshoot, and it will make it easier to remove old gear and replace it with new gear. So those are, I guess, some of my tips from my years as a, started off way back when I did temporary installations for hotels, and then it carried over into when I did tech support for whole house audio video systems. So just things that I've noticed over the years. I think that if I were you, if I had a spaghetti nest of cables at my church, I would take a Saturday or maybe take a day off of work or whatever, and I would rip out that whole shebang. Make sure you have plenty of time to put it back. Get rid of all the unnecessary cables, because I bet you find a bunch. Make it nice and neat, and then that'll serve you for years to come. And it'll make it much easier when something goes wrong to fix it. And so that you're not the one noticed, so that your area isn't the area that people turn around and point to and things like that. So you want to avoid that. And by not being seen, but making sure that everything that your church is doing is seen and heard, will go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. What's new? My black hair, I can't.